Praise the Lord. The worship time was wonderful. This morning, I'm going to share with you something that I feel it's quite important. And the fact is sometimes, you know, in the religious mind, we think it, don't say it, for fear of being accused of wrong motives. And but yet at the same time, vital. Vital for your significance, vital for your family, vital for your influence over other people. I'm going to deal with one of the five cultures of the kingdom. The first one is the culture of blessing, so I will not go into the other four. But this one is one aspect of it with regard to the culture of blessing for life of faith and purpose. There will be other aspects, blessing, culture of blessing for financial breakthroughs and so on, but we will not deal with that today. But dealing with this issue of culture of blessing, I want to bring you to a sense of knowing that blessing is something that we need. It's not an extra. We can't do without God's blessing, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So let's go on to the second slide. I'm quite pumped with a revelation that I had about 10 years ago now, a little over 10 years, when the Lord, after over two decades of church, the Lord drew my attention to kingdom. And that caused quite a bit of movements, shifts, and perspective change in my heart regarding the Bible, regarding God, regarding us, you and me. Why are we here? Why do we have church? What is the point of coming to church every Sunday? We want more people to come and fill up our pews, and somehow we have been limited, rather limited, because the influential aspect of the church that is supposed to be like what God says in Habakkuk, about his glory that will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's vast. But churches generally are small, apart from a few that are mega today. In fact, today there are mega churches more than any other points in Christian history. That's a big thing to say, but this is true. But those are few. However, if I were to depend on that, I've got a sense of hopelessness, because most of us do not perform like them. And what's important is, it's not about that too. That's important, because that stage. Most important is family. So the crucial perspective of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven on earth, is your family with heaven on earth for you, so that you could be influential. First of all, influencing one another in the family, and then influencing your children, so that in turn, these who are influenced by your understanding of God's word, your encounter with God, will be able to point people to the solutions that they have in Jesus Christ. This church is called Life Solution. It's quite intentional that I put it there, because you can't point other people to Jesus as the answer unless you yourself have experienced it. You are an influence only according to how much you've been influenced by the King of the kingdom and the God of creation. And in due course, of course, is not only to point people to Jesus. The second most important thing is to be able to teach and train them to serve God's kingdom purpose, which includes your children. So good to see Vereen on the podium, playing the drums and serving the Lord and so on, and the other kids too. So Irene and Kelvin actually has been working hard to establish a family that will be that itself is a kingdom family. The family unit is a kingdom family. The church is a kingdom family, but the church is a kingdom family only as much as the family is a kingdom family. So I have a particular message about the family that will be a kingdom family. And if you're going to be married and you're going to get in, to have children and be fruitful and multiply, that's part and parcel of heaven on earth. And we shouldn't just treat church only as meetings that we come for. You've got a purpose to live for, and you've got an influence to be able to exert within your family and to other people. You can't change the world unless God changed you and I personally. Meaningful life. Well, life is meaningful, number one, only when you're able to take care of yourself. There's no meaning if you can't even have enough to feed your family. People get discouraged. People get into trouble with the family. They have got great relational issues within the family. And if the needs are not met, emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, if these are not met, then you can't really have that sense of meaningfulness in life. It's no meaning. However, God's word says, we sang the song, didn't we? He's got more than enough. That's actually, it's not just a song. I want to materialize it. We need to enter into the realities, because and the realities that you will experience determines on whatever that is inside. And I hope this morning, in sharing God's word, there will be something that happens within you, so that it gives you an inner or internal reality that will release you into the external realities of your needs met, but not only met, but overflowing. How many like to have an overflowing? It's God's will, because if you are not on an overflow, you can't influence anybody. You can't even influence yourself about God. You can't convince yourself about God if your needs are not met. And then once you are finding meaning, God means He is my healer. God means He is my provider. God means He is my He is my everything. Okay? He is my father. He is my friend. If you find meaning, when you find meaning in these, you will be able to help others and fulfill their needs too. And the whole idea is actually a very long-term plan that God has for His kingdom people, for His kingdom family. It starts with your family, and then it starts with the generations under you, and then into the nations. And that's how God presented His whole plan through Abraham, so that Abraham would be blessed, so that he will be a blessing even to the nations. Let's go on to the third slide. The ancient world, talking about blessings, the ancient world, right from whenever, religious and superstitious people have a craving for blessings. It's somewhat natural, instinctive in people. It's an instinct in human beings that they want to be blessed. It's better to be blessed than not to be blessed. Okay, and they have this idea that the more powerful the deity, the more important the blessing sought. In other words, if I have this particular one that I go to pray for and this idol that I go to worship in the temple and so on, if this guy can meet me, this needs, it's fine. But whenever there's something that is greater that I need, I might have to go and look for a bigger God. And that's how they think. But whether we were Christians then or not, same thing. We needed some blessing from somebody. Okay. And what are the blessings that were sought? Fertility. So those who got married, and if they can't bear children, they would love to have children. And I can see that you are quite fruitful and you're multiplying. How many now? This is number one. I thought there was a whole bunch there. They were not yours. Well, maybe this is the one of the many to come. All right, fertility, prosperity, and I think great numbers of people have such a urge to be prosperous. And sometimes Christians in their religious mode, especially in the older days, when we were traditional and conservative, we don't even want to use that word too much. But today, I hope this culture of blessing can release us and release us to have a freedom. It's okay to prosper in the Lord. Actually, it's God's will that you prosper. And prosper not only in your physical, not only in your material, not only in your financial. Prosper even as your soul prospers. Okay, John 3, 3 John 2. Protection, you pray for protection, healing, power and favor and so on. Now, since ancient traditions, when man talks about success today, the Bible, well, the word success is not mentioned a lot, only in Joshua. Actually, the meaning is the same. In the Old Testament, the man talks about blessing. When the modern man talks about success, when you are blessed, you've got a greater chance of success. Okay, next slide. So if the world that does not know God, that is paganistic, seek blessing, it's crucial for Israel to secure blessings from the Almighty God, the only Creator and true Lord and King whose blessings no one can reverse. I like the last bit. If God blesses you, no one can reverse. But God can reverse curse. Hallelujah. How many remember Balaam and the donkey? When God decides to bless Israel, nobody, not even his prophet, can reverse the blessing that God has intended for Israel. And it's a very important thing, because if you walk with a sense of an invisible covering of God's blessings, I think we should be delivered from fear. Right now, there is a little bit of an urgency and a little bit of a concern, because one of the pastors in Malaysia had been kidnapped about 4 days ago on the 14th. Today is the 18th, is it? And so I have got different moods of emotions as I think about it. There's an element of anxiety, and there's an element of wanting to pray for this man and his family. But yet at the same time, in the presence of the Lord, as I was worshiping, there was an element of trust, knowing that actually this guy has come to a place of serving God's kingdom whereby God sees fit for him to be able to suffer. Now, this is not philosophical. Not many people are able to suffer too many things. Our threshold for pain and suffering is very low. For Jesus to suffer what he suffered was because he was so well tuned up by the Lord. How many believe that? That he was fit to be able to suffer the cross. I don't know whether this man will become a martyr. I do not know what has happened. But you know that the country that we come from, they are not most sympathetic to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Christians. In different parts of the world, we are seeing increasingly the Antichrist spirit. God is able to see fit as to how he's going to bless that man who has been kidnapped. He will still be blessed by the Lord. His family will still be blessed by the Lord. And those who are near them would also be a blessing to them, I believe. And that's the idea. Let's have a sense of positiveness despite of whatever that the enemy would want to hand down to you and I. Because we are actually designed to be blessed by the Lord no matter what. And I'm not philosophical. I'm actually quite clear that it's a journey that we need to learn to walk in. To walk in a journey whereby no matter what happens, God will still bless us. But may not be the way that you and I expect, but his blessings will be the best for us somehow. The blessing that confers the power of fertility is inseparable from creation, where the Creator is the one who blesses and created living being as the power to reproduce blessings. Now, what does this mean? I prayed over many, many people. Doesn't matter which country, whether it's Sri Lanka, whether it's Malaysia, whether it's Australia, whether it's New Zealand. I would have prayed for people who needed or who desired to have children, and they didn't have any. And so therefore, being fertile is the easiest thing that we can pray for, because God actually desires his people to fill the earth. That's how the whole earth actually came into being. So to be fruitful and multiply is basically a call of creation. And let me say this, we need to also have spiritual children too. Now this is not in a normal concept of a church attending Christian, because we think of coming to church and we think of God and us only. We didn't really think that we are supposed to be not only natural families, we are also spiritual family too. We are not only natural father and mother, we are also supposed to be spiritual mom and dad. That's not necessarily in the mind of an average Christian. But this is in the mind of the Father in heaven. The Father in heaven wants us to be blessed physically, but he also wants us to be a blessing spiritually to our descendants. As you will have physical descendants, we are supposed to have spiritual descendants too, so that his glory will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea until Jesus comes, which most likely could be sooner than we think. Then, of course, when we talk about blessing, we will have to talk about curse. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 says, "This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." I read this scripture before, but one day, it has a bit of an illumination to it. I had a revelation of this. I never thought of it in this way. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Trust in man, trust in humans. Actually, where would that lead you to? Today, as I open my eyes, I'm seeing clearer than ever before that when you trust in man, you only propagate and evolve into humanistic philosophies, humanism. And humanism has a way of actually taking your trust away from God. It's a heart that turns away from the Lord. So we can have all the humanistic things that seem so right from humans' eyes. How many know that humanistic way is not God's way? And so there are many issues that many people are actually debating, even among Christians, about, and they're all humanistic issues. There are many humanistic issues about how you should treat human beings, certain types of human beings, and how you should actually view certain people, and on humanistic ways. But carry on with that, the Bible says, the heart will be turned away from the Lord. And so therefore you have sometimes within a church two camps of people. Some people are more sympathetic to humanistic philosophies, more sympathetic to humanism. Others will think that it doesn't sound right, it's not correct. Well, the defining factor is to know where the heart finally ends. If the heart turns away from God, then you know that way is the wrong way. And maybe we might even have to check the two sides of us, whether or not within us we have that two things. I'm not suggesting that we're all schizophrenic, but we do have a battle. You know, that there's heart, muck, and yuck. So there's a mixture in us. There's belief and unbelief. Is that true? Every one of us have that kind of mixture. And if we are honest with it, let's face it. But my idea, your idea, is to make sure that we do not have our hearts turned away from God. Okay, next slide. Okay, let's have the biblical perspective and trace through the validity for a faith to believe in blessings. Let's turn to some scriptures here, and I do not have them on the board. You can. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This was the early days of early time of creation. Right early when God created heaven and earth, then he created man. And verse 28 has a very interesting way to bring about the command that God gave to Adam and Eve. Before God issued the instruction to Adam and Eve, the first two words was significant, or three words. God blessed them. And it might be just something that we gloss over until when the Lord actually begin to like speak to us. How many understand what I'm talking? The Bible speaks to us, amen? And when he speaks to you, he just focuses your eyes on a few words. And those three words spoke to me when I was thinking about the culture of blessing. Before God can entrust us or can actually empower us to go out and do his instruction, he needs to bless us. Because blessing is the empowerment of God. If he doesn't bless you, like I said, you can't bless other people. Okay. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay, now that was for Adam. But is this something that is just in isolation, an isolated case or not? It's not. Adam and Eve mucked it up. When come to Genesis chapter 3, sin came into the world. And together with sin, curse came. You know very well that when Adam and Eve fell and disobeyed God, God cursed two things. Number one, he cursed Satan. Number two, he cursed the ground. And when God cursed the ground, even though he did not curse man, man actually suffered. And he's been still suffering since then because thorns and thistles came out from the ground. And when thorns and thistles filled the earth, man had to toil and live by the sweat of his brow. And that's why man actually is quite miserable, and we are finding ways and means to comfort ourselves with entertainment, with all different kinds of things, and so that we can soothe the discomfort of the thistles and thorns in life. And because the earth is cursed, and because Satan is cursed, and Satan is actually the one who is in control of this whole earth. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 says that actually this world is in the control of the evil one. So what do you expect out of this world if Satan is in control? So if we have the Antichrist spirit, is that any surprise? Because that's his job. And he's in control. And he would propagate it and he would actually make it even worse. That's why Jesus needs to come back again. Hallelujah. All right. The next verse. I told you that Genesis chapter 1 was not in isolation. Adam and Eve fell. Satan came into the scene. The world turned into a mess. It was such a mess that God actually regretted having made man. And he wiped out man from Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8. And Genesis chapter 9 was a reissue of the command to actually be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth again. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Before God could actually tell Noah to do what was told to Adam, the same three words, or the same two words came. God blessed Noah and his sons. So it's just like God blessed them. Only this time it's a different person, a different group. God blessed Noah and his sons. Now that's a very, very wonderful key for me, because I discovered that God did not just bless Noah, neither did God intends to only call Noah. It was actually Noah and his sons. If family is not important, the two words, his sons, shouldn't even need to appear. But family is in the heart and mind of God right from day one. So what's happening around the world today? We can have Christians, we can have churches, but we also are having same rates of divorce as those people outside the church. Something is wrong. Don't we have the idea that we should give priority to them? Everyone has. But everyone still plays in the hand of the devil to bring about the curse of divisions, relationship issues, marriage issues that cause families to be eroded in their blessings and to be eroded in their strength and be eroded in their influence for the next generation. This is not an isolated problem. It's not an isolated problem because in the 80s, there was a great move of awareness regarding pastors, preachers' kids. That means children of preachers are actually turning away from God. We thought that if we would just serve God, everything in our family will be well. Error. I belong to that generation that fell into that mistake. I wish I had not fallen into that mistake. To think that if you just serve God, everything will be well. We need to have discipleship. Then everything will become better. If you do not have the concept of actually being blessed by God to be a blessing to your children and be able to train them and disciple them to be a blessing to others in their generation, we would miss the point of your Christianity. Okay, then God bless Noah. Now let's go on to the next scripture regarding Abraham. Now let's look at Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Out of Noah, of course, nations began. And nations began because the idea of propagation and generations took place. You remember how Noah, in Genesis chapter 11, the people wanted to build a tower, Tower of Babel, and then God actually confused their language and then caused many nations from there. All right. I just think that God is so cool, you know. He can use man's folly and then still turned everything out for good according to his plan. And he was still able to achieve what he achieved, making nations out of man. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 12. And it says in verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Mm-hmm. So the idea of nation, the idea of blessing came in. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Maybe we can go down to verse 3. Verse 3. And I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Well, NIV says all peoples on earth. I think King James says all families on earth will be blessed through you. When I read that, I discovered that actually people will be quite general. But people who will be useful to themselves and among themselves are better able to do so when they relate as family. Same with church. We will be able to be useful to others and to bless others better if we relate as family. So that when there is joy, we celebrate together. New birth coming, we celebrate together. If there is any grief, we cry together. I think that's part of the whole deal because God wants families to be blessed through you. Another scripture, did I have any more? Yes. So fast forward, this whole idea of blessing, fast forward to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is connected to Abraham. So we read in Galatians chapter 3. Okay, let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And we're familiar with some of the scriptures, and my job this morning is to be able to connect these things together for us all. So that you are confident that, hey, I have a biblical basis to believe for blessings. I have a biblical basis to believe that God wants to bless my family. And I have a biblical basis to know that my family is supposed to be a blessing to other families. You know, you want to grow a church, you do evangelism, you call out one of... Wouldn't it be better if families are blessing families and they all come together to the church? We suddenly grow by families. Hallelujah. And then we need more chairs. We need to bring down those chairs from the top there. Hallelujah. I believe that this message that I'm sharing with you, first of all, it's not just only from my heart. I believe it is vital and needed for this end time church, because the curse of the devil and the heat of it is increasing. And we're just only tasting a little bit of the forerunning part of it, with one pastor being kidnapped. It doesn't matter who. Whoever that kidnaps him has a certain agenda, one agenda, and it's Antichrist. But what I'm confident today, there's a verse in the Bible that God's favor will be a shield to you. And I'm not saying that with God's shield, nothing wrong will happen to us. Don't be mistaken. This is an imperfect world. But you know what? God is in the business still to work out all things together for good. But to those who love Him, another last part is actually important. To those who love Him and who are the called according to His purpose. That's why my title is Culture of Blessing for a Life of Faith and Purpose. We got to know the purpose. This idea of coming to Christ to get a healing, to get a blessing to heal my marriage, it's only a threshold. It's only the door. Don't end at the door. Enter into the house. Enter into the fullness of what God's purpose is for you. And if you will, then you will find it meaningful to come for Bible studies and be trained. And if you will have a sense of purpose, you'll find it meaningful to actually have fellowship. Friendship. Love your family. And learning how to be changed. You see, if you have a sense of purpose, you would know how to handle the computer. You would know how to handle the habits. Because you want to make sure that your life is not going to be mucked up. You see, the heart was what? God, muck, and yuck. You don't want to be mucked up by anything that blocks your flow from the kingdom of heaven on earth. And God wants us to fulfill His plan, which is what? His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah? To accomplish that, you don't block yourself by involving in things that will actually hinder the flow. We want to have a flow that will give us an overflow. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. What did we say there? He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Now, this is over 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus is long time, many generations, not even 2,000, more than 4,000 years actually. Okay? So, we are talking about generation to generation to generation from Abraham to arrive at Jesus Christ. So, if we do not have a perspective, a biblical perspective, that your Christianity is supposed to influence your generations under you, spiritually and physically, we miss the point. Having a one-generation Christian just for myself, just that God will touch me, just that God will heal me, it's missing the point. And I'm sure that this is going to revolutionize the idea of church, actually, in many people. Because some people have this kind of a pseudo-open-mindedness to think that, oh, I let my children grow up and let them decide their own religion for themselves. You're wrong. Where are you sending them to? Oh, this is good humanism. It is good humanism, but it's not biblical. I'm sorry, I'm a bit strong this morning. Young and old, same page. Men and women of God's purpose from generation to generation. And therefore, it will dictate the way I will behave. It will dictate my attitudes. So that my attitude would dictate my behavior, and my behavior dictate my feelings. So that I do not go the other way around. All right, let's get down to verse 14. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. There's another scripture there, verse 19. Okay. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law has put into effect through the angel's power. Okay, you have this scripture here, 18:19 on your board at the beginning of your service there, and actually it's talking about Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. And the idea of seed is generations, is propagation, multiplication, okay? And so because Jesus is the seed of Abraham, therefore we are children of Abraham. And so therefore, in Romans chapter 4, the Bible talks about Abraham as the father of many nations. He's the father of all who believe, but he's the father of many nations. In other words, we may not think like that, but let me say this. Besides coming to church and as a church-going Christian, actually God wants you to be a world-changing person that will even influence nations. That sounds a bit too far-fetched, but it is true. It is true. This is the Bible. You're supposed to influence the world and influence the nations. Do you think it's coincidental that God brought nations into Australia? Do you think it's coincidental that you came from a certain nation? I believe you're brought into Australia from a certain nation to be blessed so that you can return in other nations and be a blessing. This happened in Cambodia. 1995, the Cold War ended. 94, the Cold War ended. 94 was the year one of our pastors made our first maiden trip into Cambodia, war-torn. I went in 1995, and we decided that we will want to do something in the nations, and we're talking about 20 years ago now. And coincidentally, when you have a desire in your heart, God actually brings about a reality. And so what was the reality? He actually caused a person to walk into one of the churches in Kuala Lumpur. And in that particular context, that stranger was somehow used by the Lord to divinely lead many Malaysians on missions into Cambodia. And the church planting, we invited him later on. We brought him back into Kuala Lumpur and into our church planting seminar that we held in a hotel somewhere. And then we decided that we should actually encourage this guy to gather people and whatever evangelism he could do, bring people into a place of God's purpose. 2013, when I brought him back to one of my pastor's conferences that we hold every year, I asked him, I said, how many churches since 1995? He said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. Right throughout Cambodia. And we actually went in to many, many provinces in Cambodia, preached the gospel. We went into prison and did everything with the gospel and so on. So we invested about 20 years into the country and asked him, you and your people, and with whatever help that you've got maybe from other churches or from all different parts of the world. So I'm not claiming anything that we have done. That's not the idea. But I want to tell you what happened when we have a heart for the nations, the Lord will set in motion things for himself, by himself, beyond us, but we can participate. We get to participate. And we participated in this move of church planting when he told me that he wouldn't believe it. By now, we would have over 400 churches in Cambodia when there was none after Pol Pot. How many believe that's a wonderful news? Amen? Praise God. Yeah, give the Lord the glory. Indeed. Yeah. And it was done by very simple people. Very simple people. Amen. So the blessings of Abraham, verse 19, was about nations. You see, what is the Abrahamic blessing? Two things of the Abrahamic blessing. Descendants and land. I will bring you to the land, okay? But it's descendants. How did God identify himself with Abraham? He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We must bear this in mind. You are a Christian. You may be a Christian. Your name might be John. But you should be also having a God who is John and whoever and whoever and whoever. A few more generations down. This is the idea of descendants and idea of inheritance. Inheritance is something that you pass down. I mean, we have many things that we do, we use and sing as cliches, but I'm trying to put meaning into this morning. Don't just sing them as cliches. It's for reality. The reality is you're supposed to have descendants to pass down a heritage, to pass down an inheritance. And therefore, you need to be blessed by God to have an inheritance to pass down. And I'm not just talking about money in the bank and buildings and properties that you'll pass down as a heritage for your children's inheritance. I mean, if you have some of those will be fine and your children will be happy. But the most important thing is your faith and your purpose, because the culture of blessing that I'm talking about is about your faith and your purpose. Okay, let's go down a little bit more. Next slide, Abrahamic blessing. It is covenantal, applicable to descendants and inheritance. All right. The Davidic blessing is the same thing, because Jesus was not only the son, a seed of Abraham, but also he is the son of David. How many remember that? That's how the Bible describes Jesus. You remember the blind man who wanted to be healed? What did he call out? He hollered, "Jesus, son of David." Isn't it? Yeah. But between David and Jesus were many generations. The idea is generations to be blessed so that the gospel will be able to continue until Jesus Christ comes back again. And you have a responsibility for your children. Don't leave them to the world. Don't leave them to humanism. Don't leave them to the world system to be their tutor and a mentor. Okay. This is how the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 45, King Solomon will be blessed and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord forever. Huh, just blessing one. The rest of it will be forever. The gospel is supposed to bring eternal life, but eternal life starts with generation to generation. Next slide, please. Desire for blessings is not to fend greed, it's a necessity. Why? Because sin brought curse, Satan, and ground man. I already said all these things. Go down to the next slide, please. So therefore, what does it mean? I think we need to pray. We need to break every curse that we could have inherited from our forebears. We need to actually enter and be released into God's blessings. Somebody can say amen. That's why some of these words are relevant. The gospel links us to God. The preaching of the gospel is a ministry of reconciliation. Actually, we exist mostly for this. This is the most important thing, actually, the church can do. It's not just only adding people to the numbers. It's whether or not people are actually reconciled with God. Because if they are not reconciled with God, they are not at peace with God. And if they are not at peace with God, they cannot enter into kingdom blessings. Making peace with God is a huge thing, and it's the key thing. So, same way, I've got to make peace with God. If I can't make peace with God, I think my capacity and my ability to actually make peace with man could be limited. I wouldn't have the peace to be able to do things that will influence the environment, my atmosphere, my family. If I'm uptight all the time, I'm not at peace. If I'm anxious, I just made peace with God regarding this person whom I can't say I know him very well. I kind of know who he is. He's kidnapped the one who. But I have to make peace with God regarding this whole matter. And then I'll be at rest. Otherwise, I'll be anxious, because we have quite a lot going on in terms of what we do in the nation. I think about my people. I think about my pastors, that what they're doing. So I can't say I have no responsibility. What they do is their business. No, you are connected somehow with somebody. And I'm not laying this on you, okay? I'm just telling you where I'm coming from. But I have to actually have a peace, a reconcile with the Lord, a peace within me. Because if you're not at peace, you'll be anxious. So how do you know when you're anxious? When peace leaves you, then you know that peace is not there. Why? When my mind is in turmoil and my mind goes spinning even to the point where you can't even sleep well at night, that means you've got no peace. You're not reconciled with God in a full flow. Repentance actually is a change of mindset. And I hope this morning there will be a shift. I came here with an intention to want to bless you and wanting to see you blessed by the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to be significant because I know that your pastors and the family are serious about the gospel in Australia. So am I. So you should be too. Okay. Repentance is a change of mindset. So I'm shifting mindsets. I'm wanting to shift your mindset from a singular personal faith to a faith for the whole family. I'm shifting the mindset from a faith to believe God for your personal well-being to the well-being of your family and your generations. I'm shifting the mindset from a church mentality of coming just only to be to have a good meeting and good service to a kingdom mentality. I'm shifting from the purpose of just attending church to the purpose of serving God's kingdom and be of kingdom use. Because when you are of kingdom use, you rise up in your spiritual authority. You rise up in your anointing. You become a more powerful person. And it is safe when you are actually a person who has responsibility to be trusted with authority. When you don't have a responsibility and be given authority, you would abuse it. And we have seen some world leaders today doing the same thing. They control the whole country by power. And their lives, their personal lives, are just not God. It's just the last two, muck and yuck, with no God. Okay, renunciation. There are certain things that we need to renounce. That might even include the cultures that we come from. Oh, Pastor, you're treading on very sensitive things. But I'm going to tell you this. There is a culture of the kingdom and there's a culture of the world. How many know that there is a difference? And if we are brought up in the culture of the world, which include our nationality, include our background, how many know that our background is full of worshipping of other things? And so you need to renounce some of those things. So don't get upset just because I'm talking about having to renounce a culture. I'm not saying everything about culture is bad, but I'm saying that actually there are bad things in culture. By doing so, let's fulfill God's dream for you. He wants to restore you to Himself so that He can do what He did with His Son, Jesus. What did His Son do? His Son actually brought about the reality of the kingdom of heaven on earth. He wants to restore you to bring more heaven on earth. How many think that's a good idea with more heaven on earth? Amen. And I believe that the first place that you should enjoy this of more heaven on earth is within your own soul as well as within your own family. Amen. And then, he says, when you're in Christ, all things pass away, all things become new. Renewal. Praise the Lord. And it starts with the mind. Change starts with the renewal of the mind. And lately, I have a different thing that I noticed, that the soul is not just made up of the mind, it's also made up of your emotions. So there is a place to renew your mind, but there is also a place to renew your emotions. Because given the old set of emotions, usually it goes down very easily. How many believe that sometimes it's so easy to be negative and so hard to be full of faith and positive? Because of that, we need to renew our emotions too. Amen.